Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Starting to show off with a cough. Sorry about that. FST Thursday edition. Good to be here with George Kurtz, my main man, going around the world in the NFL playoffs. So, obviously a lot on the docket today, George. Interviews abound. Heard Dan Strafford's update just now. Adam Gase is interviewing with the Jets. I do think there's something there. I know you said it's a hard sell, but I actually think there's something there, and I'm seeing all kinds of stuff. And Kevin Stefanski's interview moved up to Thursday with the Browns. They're trying to maybe catch lightning in a bottle with what he was able to do with the Vikings offense after John DeFilippo was fired. So a lot going on really in the coaching wrangling. I would expect you'll start to hear some announcements probably after the playoff games, like starting Monday. I think you may start to hear some buzz about who's going where. But, you know, before we'll get into this now, but obviously we'll get into the games a little bit too. The spreads are pretty tight on a couple of these games. And I heard you and Scotty talking the last hour about all kinds of different playoff formats. So fantasy football season was thought to, I think in the past, George, was thought to have ended in week 17. But I think with the onset of DFS and these playoff formats becoming more popular, it gives us a lot more to do and to talk about here for the next month.
Absolutely. As Scotty and I discussed about this, so many different types of fantasy playoff leagues you can play in. No matter what you want to do, you know, there's some for everybody. All you got to do is look for it, and you'll be able to play if that's your thing. And
I used to be in that IDP league, by the way. I heard you talking about it. I used to be.
I've never been in that. I would love.
It's fun.
I love IDP.
I really think
IDP leagues.
And I never won it. And there must have been like a couple of years in a row where I finished top three. There's a lot of people in it, like 50 guys in it, and I must have finished top three a couple of years in a row, and then I just somehow fell off the email list, or maybe I didn't do it for a year. But it is a lot of fun, especially because I think that's like a two-and-done format. So you could use, like, do you use Jalen Smith twice because you think they're going to win? You really have to map that out.
And most easily, that's exactly how I do. You have to map it. You have to reseed everything, see who's going to go on here. You have to trust your rankings. I do that whenever I'm in any playoff league, whether it's baseball,
I agree,
hockey, football. I always map out, and I'm going to trust the way I mapped it out. Hey, if I'm wrong and everything, the teams that have gone to the Super Bowl lose their first game, all right, such is life. You move on to the next year. You're not going to be right all the time. But this is not, in my mind, this is a sprint. Yeah, you know, where the regular season is more of a marathon, especially in the longer leagues, this is a sprint. I'm going to trust what I believe, which I'll tell you this, Mike. It's a problem this year because I don't know if I believe anything.
I understand what you're saying. Look, two of the games right now are one-point spreads, and that's without the major movement that generally comes as we get closer to the weekend. If that Houston Texans line stays at -1, I'd probably be surprised. I bet you the money comes in on Andrew Luck and the Colts spread gets it down to a pick 'em. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some Russell Wilson money come in and got that down to a pick'em. Now, one is close enough, but it wouldn't surprise me if people bet on the quarterbacks in those two games.
Well, the money coming in will be on the Cowboy money.
That's true. Public money is Cowboy money. Yeah.
Right. Cowboy money is always, Steelers money is always big. Mm-hmm. You know, those are the teams that have a huge following. That's where the money's coming from. So yep. Russell Wilson's money won't be enough to offset that. I think that spread might actually get higher for that reason.
That's possibly true, yeah.
Yeah, people get all upset about spreads. I don't think a lot of people understand how it works. All right, all Vegas cares about is getting a middle line of where the money is. It's all they want to do. You know, they're not trying to tell you which team is better. That's not what this is about at all. It's where the money's coming from, and that's
and they don't want to be overweight. They don't want to be overweight one side. you know, it's funny. You read a lot of, like, Vegas updates if you follow, like, an ESPN chalk or you follow some other, like, VSiN or some other sites. They'll like, the sports books are always crying in their beer after they get hammered after a big game because the public was overweight Dallas and Dallas covered. The sports books will tell you how much they got killed. Now, they're building new buildings out there every day, George, so I'm not crying in their beer for them. But it is kind of funny how they talk about being overweight. The public side was heavy on Notre Dame, so they cleared big money when Clemson covered easily. Like, for example, those games took in a lot of money, obviously, the college football playoff semifinal games. And the public side, I was reading all kinds of it, was Notre Dame, to your point about popular teams, was Notre Dame money line. So you were getting good odds if you were betting Notre Dame money line. Now they lost by 27 points, so your money got flushed down the toilet. But you made a good point about the public money.
It's just funny, though. You only hear when Vegas loses big. The 99.9% of the time they win big, they don't tell you that. Oh, but you know when they lose big. As you mentioned, they're building buildings out there all the time. I think they're doing okay.
Yeah, they're doing all right. I'm going out to Vegas after the Super Bowl, the week after the Super Bowl, for some work stuff. 4 nights, George. It'll be my longest stay in my lifetime in Vegas. So I'll be out there for a few days, and I'm sure I'll check out the sports books and all that kind of stuff. It'll be mostly college basketball going on by that point, but still could be fun.
Hockey, Mike.
Speaking of, I was watching, you know, I never got a chance to watch this documentary, and I recently got a Roku device just for Christmas, so I hooked it up, and I was flipping back through ESPN docs, and I fell asleep, but I've watched basically the first half of Big Shot, which was the John Spano Islanders documentary that was done by Kevin Connolly.
Really?
I know.
You got to bring this up to me, Mike.
Yeah, but it's really interesting. It's a joke, but it's interesting.
How he was able to pull that off. For those who don't know,
just lied.
He bought the Islanders with no money. He really bought the Islanders with no money. Great background check by the NHL there, guys. Awesome.
He went to Fleet Bank in Boston, and they lent him $80 million. He was worth, according to the FBI, a couple of $100,000. That's what his net worth was.
Great job. Just a fantastic job. That's when the Islanders were just a complete mess.
The Gorton's Fisherman jerseys.
I kind of like the Gorton's Fisherman jersey. It was the he was on acid. It was the Gorton's Fisherman on acid.
Small minority of people that like the Gorton's Fisherman jersey.
He looked like an angry old man. It was great.
Stan Fischler. People said he looked like Stan Fischler.
Yes. Stan Fischler on acid works too.
That's funny.
It's the Islanders. What a mess. But Mike Cardano right now is spinning in his chair. Why are they talking hockey?
It's a really interesting documentary. Anyway, back to a couple of milestones that we reached this season. How many teams, George, would you guess made the playoffs that were not in the playoffs last year?
Well, it's usually five, right? Isn't that the magic number here? Five. Let's see. One, two, they made it. Three, I got three from the NFC.
Yep.
They made it. I don't remember about Houston, actually. Four, five, Adrians. I'm going to say half. It might be seven, but I'm going to say half.
It is seven. Baltimore, Chicago, Dallas, Houston,
Houston was the one team I wasn't sure about.
The Chargers and Seattle. Remember, Deshaun Watson got hurt last year. It all fell apart.
That's right.
After he got hurt.
4-12.
So, Chargers in Seattle. So that's the seven. Both the Chicago Bears and Houston Texans completed worst to first turnarounds, and at least one team has won its division the season after finishing in or tied for last place in 15 of the past 16 seasons. So 2018 marked the second consecutive season that two teams went from worst to first. Last year it was Jacksonville and Philly, something that has never happened in any other major U.S. sport. Now, obviously, the divisions are only four teams deep, so it creates a little less friction as you're rising from worst to first. But, you know, what was pretty interesting in some of the stats I was looking over, competitiveness highlighted, this is according to the NFL, the 2018 regular season, as 73 games, George, were decided by 3 points or fewer. That's the most in a season in NFL history. while 68% of all games played this season were within one score, 8 points, in the fourth quarter, tied for the third most in a season in NFL history. And on 71 occasions of the 175 that were that tight, teams came back to win or tie after trailing in the fourth quarter or overtime, an average of 4.2 teams per week, which is the second most in NFL history. And I think it all goes to tell you, and it's something that we've known for a while. It's why the league gets such big ratings. People sometimes yearn for old school dynasties and champions like the Niners or the Giants. By the way, there is currently one in play with the Patriots. They're in the playoffs every year, and they get to the Super Bowl a lot. So, but the parity is, I think, always going to be the selling point. And you can talk about all the other outside influences that were causing ratings to dip, but the reality is ratings were back up. It's super competitive league, and everybody's got a shot. There were 15 teams still alive for the playoffs in week 17, and 12 are in. And in week 16, there are even more. So you've got a shot almost every year.
Well, it's what the NFL wants. They want their parity. They want everyone involved, or at least as many teams as possible involved. You're always going to have your bad teams that aren't involved, but this is what the NFL wants. You know, it looks like the ratings dip in 16 really probably was more towards the presidential race than all that was going on there, because it's come back up with a vengeance the past 2 years. So the NFL's fine.
Thursday night ratings are on fire. The Thursday night ratings this year were on fire. That was the really noticeable trend. And it was partly due to improving the games, but also its availability on other devices, too.
Yeah, I don't think the NFL game itself is anywhere near as good as it used to be. I mean, the hard hits are taken out. You can't touch the quarterback. The hits on the receiver, defenseless receiver, is a joke. They've pretty much fixed the catch rule. So, hey, good for them there. And they fixed one problem. That wasn't as big a problem this year as it was last year.
What's weird is, like, they fixed it by not messing with it. They messed with it so much beforehand. It was like the Jesse James thing. I'm glad. Like, the Jesse James thing, I wasn't happy about it at the time. But it fixed something that they all knew was ridiculous. Like, we're taking this down to a thousandth of a second to see if the ball moved a blade of grass or under his hand. And it was a totally ridiculous overturn. And I think it finally got people at the table to be like, why don't we just stop doing this? Just he caught it and let's move on.
Well, they finally went to common sense.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I never understood with the NFL with the catch rule, why it was different for a receiver going into the end zone than it was a running back.
Yeah.
Catches the ball 2 feet down, ball crosses, it plays dead.
Right.
Well, who cares if he comes down, if he's tackled? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter for a running back. Once he runs in there, once the ball crosses the plane, it plays over.
Yeah, look what happened to Saquon Barkley the other day with the Superman thing. The tip of the ball got over, and it was still a touchdown.
I thought I had a great line for that. Remember, was it Lou Dobbs from Major League? I could see Lou Dobbs being seeing Barkley on the sideline. Great play, Saquon. Don't ever freaking do it again.
Yeah,
because it's dangerous. You saw what happened to Lamar Jackson, where he did the same thing later on that day, and he ended up fumbling. He didn't cross the line. So, and I think one of Barkley's line mates had a great line as well. You didn't like just walking in because it was wide open. they had a great hole there. How about just walking in next time? So that was funny as well. But the NFL and some of their rules are so convoluted. You know, I understand in this day and age, and a lot of this is because of the concussion lawsuit. Yeah, and that's why you see this in all sports, by the way, as well. Hockey has the same problem now, where they have to look like they're taking action to avoid, you know, a $1 billion lawsuit down the line. I get that. But, you know, it's football. And you have to be able to hit people. You just have to be able to hit people. And for these games to be changed on these ticky-tack calls, these roughing the passer calls. I mean, Tom Brady got one against him the other before him, because the Jeff defender pushed him, and he fell to the ground. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, really? Are you kidding me? You know, and some of these hits on receivers over the middle where it's shoulder to shoulder.
The taps on the helmet are silly.
It's a joke. It's a joke.
At times, too. You know, like a defender is coming through. He's fighting a 315-pound offensive lineman, and his hand grazes the top of the helmet, and it's a hit to the head and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I think you're right that the sport is overregulated, But what really came to mind, and I noticed this, look, it's been this way for a while, and how close games are and all that kind of stuff. But what I really noticed, and it was earlier this year when the Steelers played Tampa, the Steelers were blowing them out. And then Fitz comes back and he starts throwing the ball all over the place. And there was a couple of, the Steelers got a ton of penalties in the second half. And it was pass interference penalties, which were questionable and all this other kind of stuff. And it made what was a blowout game. I think they were up like, they were up, must have been 27-3 or something like that at halftime. And it ended up being a 3-point finish. It made me realize that no game in the NFL now is safe. And that's definitely the way they want it. But it makes me yearn a little bit for when games were, you know, you're in the bag when you have a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. It's not even close to over now. And you saw it. It bit the Steelers almost that game. But it did later in the season when the Chargers came from behind, 16-point comeback in the second half. It's the first time in the Steelers' entire franchise history that they blew a 14-point lead at home. So that is what I started to think about over the course of the year. No lead is safe in the NFL. We saw it in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and it continues. I think it's just something that you, it takes me being a little bit older, and you and I are the same age, basically. It takes me still a little bit of getting used to that leads aren't safe.
There are too many penalties in the NFL. I think I'm speaking for everybody here. Even the NFL knows there are too many penalties. It's not what the fans want to see. And not that, listen, a legitimate penalty is a penalty. I have no problem with that. I'll leave you with two things. I ref men's hockey league. I've been doing it for 20, 25 years. And I'm a believer when I call a penalty that my hand doesn't go up. That's a penalty. When you put your hand up, that's the penalty. That's the equivalent of throwing a flag. My hand only goes up to call a penalty when I can't stop it. When it's that obvious, it's a penalty. There's nothing I can do about it. If I have to think about it, it shouldn't be a penalty. And I think that's the way the NFL ref should look at it. If you have to think about it, don't call it. Because then even you're not sure. Well, you know, look like, well, no, then let it go. Let it go. And my second thing is this. Should roughing the passer and or pass interference, should that be reviewable?
I think it would slow the game down so much.
Well, would it? Because you'd only have a certain, you still only have a certain amount of reviews.
Yeah.
You know, you're not getting any. I'm not giving you any extra reviews.
Would you review pass interference on both sides of it when they didn't call it, and you say he tripped him and you guys missed it, and I'm gonna throw this challenge flag?
I think you can only be if they do call it, not if they don't. Yeah. But the problem with this is, I mean, I think there would be very few instances where you would say, okay, going back to the Pittsburgh Saints game. Man, where Joe Hayden got one, he didn't even touch the guy. Yeah. That's an easy one to over say, oh, that was a terrible call. But I think in most cases, you're not going to be able to overrule it anyway. I think that's the problem.
Yeah. And yeah. But the spot foul is, you know, it's become an offensive weapon to get the spot foul by just throwing a jump ball and getting a pass interference penalty. We'll come back. We'll talk about more positive stuff. We'll talk about the games. It's Mike and George on FST. We'll be right back after this.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Game time decisions.
They let an eagle fly through the stadium after the anthem, and it landed like on a fan's head.
Oh, really? Those talons can go right through your skull.
Then it took off because the guy sort of freaked out, so the eagle then landed. A Notre Dame fan stuck his arm out.
Awesome.
It was a big bird, man.
Eagles kill things.
Dude, imagine if an eagle landed on your shoulder in a football game and just started like attacking your head. I would sue the hell out of the NCAA, man.
Oh, yeah.
Weekdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Keith Urban. I believe every child is entitled to a complete and inspiring education. Music education programs in our schools help kids learn, socialize, gain confidence, and stay in school. But they need your help to survive. Mr. Holland's Opus Foundation gives school music programs the instruments they need to make this opportunity available to every student who wants to play. With your help, we can keep music alive in our schools and give all kids the education they deserve.
Visit mhopus.org now to find out how you can help.
Maurice Allen, 2015-2016 European Long Drive Tour Champion, 2017 World Number One. Me personally, I keep my game face on me all the time. Especially coming out of the bunker, leaving the range, or even leaving the course. What's your story?
Go to GameFaceGrooming.com for all your athletic facial wipes and body cleansing needs.
Rock it out on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us on FST, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, which is free to download, free to listen. You have us on TuneIn Radio, on iHeartRadio, all across the country, all across the world, George. Talking fantasy football and rocking out, thanks to Chris Bavona producing. So appreciate you all joining us this morning. And the DailyRoto.com partnership with Data Golf. Do you go data or data golf, George? If I gave you the word D-A-T-A, how are you pronouncing it?
I probably change on this data, because I think I use
I go back and forth. Yeah, I go back and forth too. The DailyRoto.com partnership with Data Golf is back for 2019 with all new premium fantasy golf and betting tools. Check out the all new lineup optimizer with custom settings and advanced grouping, customizable projections for FanDuel and DK, that's DraftKings, ownership projections, PGA finish probabilities and simulator, outright and top 20 market betting tools, head-to-head and three-ball betting tools, and then PGA Pro Tip, subscriber chat, and more. So go to DailyRoto.com, click on Go Premium, and choose Golf, and enter promo code GOLF19 for a 10% discount. That's DailyRoto.com. Click on Go Premium, then click on Golf, and enter promo code GOLF19 for a 10% discount. I like to say 19 to make sure you know 19 isn't the word. It's GOLF19, but it's just the numbers, 19. So just to clarify there. So one last stat before we get into it. I got a whole mess of milestones and stuff that happened this year. We can dive into it again a little bit tomorrow, maybe even later this show. But this year was the most touchdowns in a single season in NFL history, 1,371 touchdowns, which bested the 2013 season by a good margin, by 33 touchdowns. So that's a pretty good margin right there that it bested the 2013 season by. 2013 season is still the most points in NFL history, so obviously a lot more field goals back then and all that good stuff. So, all right, let's dive into the games a little bit. I heard you talking about playoff rankings and such, and that's always something to get into. I'm looking at Davis Maddock's rankings here. Davis Maddock is new to the Sports Grid family, so you'll find his articles on Roto Experts right now. But to get into the games, you talked about that first spread a while back. Colts Texans, it's a -1 right now. Texans favored. That's a 49 total, which is by a good margin the highest total on the board this weekend. The others are in the 42 and 41 range. But as far as rankings come in, Pat Mahomes, excuse me, this is the rest of the season rankings, but for this weekend, the number one guy on the board, according to Davis Maddock, is Russell Wilson, slightly ahead of Andrew Luck. So what are your thoughts there? Do you have Andrew Luck higher, lower? Who do you think has the best performance at QB? Is it Andrew Luck or is it somebody else?
No, I think Luck's the man you want this weekend. If you're going quarterback, Houston, very good defense, very good run defense, but their secondary can be beat. It's been their bugaboo all season long. So yeah, Luck's the man I want. Plus, I think Houston's gonna. I think they'll lock down Marlon Mack, Hines, Wilkins, who's ever running the ball there. So I think Indianapolis is gonna be forced to throw the ball in this game.
Now, that was an interesting thing about that team later in the year, and it came back to bite me in one league because I'd kept Marlon Mack and then cut him all the way back in September. Came back to bite me when I needed him at the end of the year, and he actually contributed to knocking me out of the playoffs in that one league. But they had been pretty good running the ball, particularly with Marlon Mack. So you don't see any chance of success here for him?
Well, I mean, there's always a chance he runs in a touchdown, right? Or catches a ball in the flat and gets a touchdown here. But I think if you're playing a little DFS, you probably want to look in another direction here.
Yeah.
I think if you're playing in one of those leagues that are one and done, I'm not using Mack. I don't like Melvin Gordon this little week either in one and done leagues because same thing. I don't like the matchup here. I don't think you're gonna like what you get out of Mack here. But then again, like I said, would a 18-yard touchdown reception in the flat shock me? No, I think that's where his value will come.
Yeah, really good close to the end of the season for Marlon Mack. He had 2 100-yard games in the last three games that he played. It includes Week 17. Some of you out there did play Week 17 matchups, as evidenced by the call. We got a bunch of calls on the Sunday morning show that people that were still playing. So it never ceases to amaze me that there are still a lot of people out there playing in those Week 17 formats. But Marlon Mack, 5 touchdowns in the last 4 games and 2 100-yard games in the last 3. On the other side of the ball, look, this is part of the reason why I don't like them so much as a playoff team, because they can become so one-dimensional with DeAndre Hopkins. Now, it still works for them because he's so damn good, but I just get concerned about their ability to be a little bit more balanced, not just run versus pass, but also within the passing game. Sometimes it's a little bit too much on DeAndre Hopkins' shoulders, but do you think... Now, also, they took 62 sacks this year, most in the NFL, so Watson got beat up a ton. Now, the Colts' defense has been a top-10 defense, which is unusual for them. But do you think they can generate enough pass rush to make it messy for Watson?
Watson sometimes has – he'll take the hits, which is strange, than when he runs. He doesn't always protect his body all that well here. Now, the problem is he may have to take that extra second because he's looking for Hopkins over and over again. I mean, the game plan for Indianapolis should be pretty simple, right? Take Hopkins out.
Yeah.
Force Watson to – you want to run the ball at Miller? Good luck there. You want to throw the ball to anybody else? No, Demaryius Thomas, right? He's gone. Kiki Cutie may be there, maybe not. Who cares really if he is there? Not that he's a game-breaking player here. You're going to go with, Vincent Smith, one of these other guys there, DeAndre Carter. Nobody's worried about these guys. So the game plan for Indianapolis is really pretty simple. Do everything you can. You can't stop Hopkins, but you can keep him in check. He can't catch 12 balls for 167 yards. It's really that here. They're one-dimensional here. It's Hopkins and Watson's running ability. So, yeah, I think they can, because I think it'll be a pretty easy game plan. And mainly because I think they're going to rush the quarterback where, hey, if we see Miller get the ball, we'll stop him on the way to getting Watson. Because Miller's not – he's not Ezekiel Elliott, he's not Barkley, Gurley, a game breaker at this point in his career, or even if he ever was. So I think he's sort of an afterthought. That passing game is first and foremost on the Colts' defensive minds.
Yeah, I'm just seeing where – who would you guess, by the way? I'm looking up the sack totals for Indianapolis and Houston right now. Indianapolis ranked all the way down at 19. Houston ranked at number 11. 38 sacks for Indianapolis, 43 for Houston. This is defensively. Who would you guess led the league in sacks this year? It was a tie. It was two teams.
Well, what teams, not player?
Teams, yeah.
Teams. What team led the league in sacks? I actually have no clue. I know Aaron Donald led the league, so it's kind of easy to go with the Rams here. Bring this up when we're talking about Indianapolis and Houston.
I'm sorry, because I was looking at their sack totals, because 38 to 43, and I figured I'd throw in a trivia question. Yeah, keep you on your toes, George.
I appreciate that, Mike. You always did, Mike. You always love your little trivia questions that I get like 1 of 5 correct. You bastard. I don't know. Chicago.
Close. They are 50. The two teams that tied are the Kansas City Chiefs and the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have 52 sacks each. The Steelers, I knew, generated a lot of pass rush, but when I was looking up the stats the other day, I was surprised to see that the Chiefs, as much as we beat up their defense, they do generate pass rush. Now, it's probably in part because they were putting up some leads, right? You can just pin your ears back and
you know, whatever, let the chips fall where they may, but you can generate sacks when you're holding on to 14-point leads.
It also means the opposing team has to pass the ball 40 times a game.
Exactly
so
right.
Therefore, there are more chances, probably holding on to the ball longer, too, because you're looking for deeper passes, chunk yards to get back into these games. So, yes, the Kansas City Chiefs makes a ton of sense here. And Pittsburgh's almost the same way. Had a lot of leads as well, especially earlier on in the season, before things went off the track, Mike.
They really did go off the track, too, George. You don't have to remind me. So, all right, so, yeah, so right now, how do you see this game? It's a one-point spread. I feel like I don't want to get swept up in the Andrew Luck Colts thing. I just feel like they're a better all-around team right now. As impressive as Houston's win streak was, the Colts' win streak was equally impressive. They were a 1-5 team that are sitting here at 10-6. So they're as hot as anybody in the whole league.
Captain Luck, baby. Captain Luck. I'm on Indy. I think they win this game. I think when you break it down by position, what position would you take Houston over Indianapolis? The only one I could think of was defensive line. Right, defensive line. That's it. Other than that, it's either even or Indianapolis wins here. So I think Indianapolis is a better overall team. I think they're playing better. As long as Luck is not doing anything stupid, like jump passes at the goal line that he throws to the other team in that Tennessee game, is the only reason the Titans even got back in that game. It was just a bad decision by Luck there. I think they're the better team here. I think Luck's going to pick them apart in the secondary.
Yeah. Do you think that the fact that Josh McDaniels turned down the job was a huge blessing in disguise for this team long term? And Frank Reich came in as a coach. Do you think it would have been equally successful with McDaniels?
I mean, I think it's more on Luck. I mean, I like what the job Frank Reich has done. I like the fact that he's ballsy. He's got guts.
He does.
He's not afraid to.
He is.
You think about it. People forget. They think, oh, you know, Houston beat him once. Well, you know, they really didn't beat him. They beat him because it was deep in overtime, and rather than punt the ball, which would have more than likely led to a tie in that game, Reich went for it on 4th-and-1 at his own 40 and didn't make it. Right. You know, that's why that game ended in a that's why Houston won, because they had a very short field.
I didn't beat him up over that, by the way. I was fine with it.
No, me either. I have no I mean, listen, it's 4th-and-17. We'll talk. Anything less, I have no problem in football in this day and age of not giving the football back. I think you have to do that more and more. I truly do. So I have no problem with that at all. I think it also sort of galvanized this team. You heard the players all backing me after the game. Andrew Luck specifically. Oh, no, we like it. We're playing for the win. I think they appreciate that. Put the ball in their hands. Give the players a chance to win. Yeah. So I think that was I have no problem with that. Granted,
and
I'll
here's
tell
the reality.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't,
you wouldn't have done it.
I'd have kicked the ball. And that at my own 40, maybe 10 more yards at the 50, but I'd have played it safe there. In a divisional game, I'd have taken the tie.
I understand. But the reality is, when you and I obviously deal in probability a lot because we're talking about fantasy sports, when you punt that ball, you have a 0% chance to win that game. It goes down to zero. 1%, maybe you have to a fumbled snap, or you have to pick it off with Watson coming back the other way. And Houston's going to throw it. So, obviously, I can't say 0% because Houston's going to have to throw the ball to get it down the field to try to kick the field goal. There really wasn't much time. I want to say there was maybe under 2 minutes. But
you're in the single digits win probability.
Yeah, I didn't really have a problem with it. I understand. Now, the upside is, and something you always have to calculate, whether you do it specifically or do some back-of-the-envelope math, if you miss it, their chance of winning skyrockets. You've put them in a position to basically kick a field goal already. So I understood it, and you're right. There's a maybe in that moment I would have but I remember watching that. I'm watching it on Red Zone, and I was like, you know, I don't really have a huge problem with this. 4th-and-1, you got Andrew Luck, you know. Whole deal. Anyway, let's go to the next game. Hawks Cowboys, that game right now at 1, as you stated earlier, the public will probably get in on this and maybe push it a little bit higher. But maybe if you're backing the Seahawks, maybe you want to wait on this for the public money to flow in, but 42.5 is the total. By the way, over under on the Colts Texans at 49. It's a lot of points.
I like it, though. I think that was the one game that might go over.
Trying to think what this would be.
27-24?
Yeah, basically.
That's pretty much what you're looking at there. You know, we saw it in the Indianapolis-Tennessee game. And this is why I kind of like overs in one-and-done games, where if you lose, your team's done. Because once you start the trail, you're going to start taking some chances. Indianapolis did, and they're turning the ball over left and right. I'm sorry, Tennessee was trailing, and they're turning the ball over left and right, which led to easy points for Indianapolis. I think I said the same thing on the Saturday show, the Sunday show, where that's why I liked the over here, because I expect mistakes to happen. And I think the same thing here. I think once one of these teams is far behind, they'll take more chances. Fumbles, turnovers, short fields for the other team. I'm not loving the over, mind you. I loved it on Sunday night. I don't love it here. But I think if I had to go one way or the other, I'm going the over.
Okay, so Hawks-Cowboys, this one's 42.5 right now, -1 Cowboys favored. So Davis Maddock has Russell Wilson as his top-ranked QB for this week at least. And what are your thoughts here now? You're a Cowboys fan, obviously. They've played really good football. You can take all the shots you want at Jason Garrett and Scott Linehan, and now Dak isn't the guy you really want him
and
to
Lord
be.
Lord knows I will.
Right. But they were 3-5, and now they're 10-6. So I'm as impressed as anybody. They're on the same type of win streak that the Colts are on. Colts may be a little bit more impressive, but nonetheless, 10-6 going up against the Seahawks, which was a really interesting team going into the year, because I thought a lot of people were doubting them, and I wasn't. I thought they did a pretty good job of backfilling the defensive talent on this team. There's a lot of young, high draft pick defenders on this team now. And while there isn't, while Bobby Wagner is still the face of it, it's Bobby freaking Wagner. He's awesome. So they've gone old school, but old school still attracts me in playoff matches. So how do you see this playing out?
I think it's a game. Now, first, if you're betting on Seattle in this game, I'd wait. I think you'll get a better line as the game draws closer when the Texas money gets in there. So I would definitely wait on that. As for the game itself, I think this is I think Garrett's going to go back to playing by the book Garrett, which scares the life out of me. You know, 4th-and-2, we're punting no matter where. You're not going to take any chances. I think that's the way Garrett's going to go. I think he does that sometimes just because he doesn't want to hear criticism. Oh, no, had the punt on 4th-and-2. You know, and that's what the book says. Everybody punt. You know, that's he's coaching from 20 years ago sometimes. I think he'll start doing that again unless Dallas is trailing here. Other than that, I think both teams are very similar. They're going to run. This game can be played in 2.5 hours. Because that's what both teams want to do, run and eat the clock. I think this comes down to a mistake. A mistake could be a fumble, turnover. It could be one of those 15-yard penalties on a player in the secondary that extends drives. I think it's a 2017 game somewhere around there. I can tell you one thing. That's if I'm a Cowboy fan, and I am, that would scare the life out of me, is I would not want this game to come down to any Brett Maier field goal attempt. All right, this guy looks shaky on extra points. He was shaky last week in Giant Stadium in a game that didn't mean anything. Now, granted, kicking at home, indoors, should help here. And he can kick the ball 60 yards. He can kick it far. But you have no idea where that ball is going half the time. That is what would scare me the most here, is if it came down to a kick.
Yeah, both teams won tight games last week. Hawks against Arizona. Dallas, for some reason, playing as hard as they can all the way to the end against the New York Giants. Seattle, to your point about a mistake, George, they led the league in the turnover differential this year. Plus 15 for the Hawks this year. They averaged 160 yards rushing per game and had the best turnover differential, too. So in a tight game, I like them more than I like the Cowboys. We'll come back. We'll talk about the other games this weekend right after this. I like the Hawks. George is a Cowboys fan. Who do you think he's going to pick? We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call N-O-W.
800-804-7060. 800-804-7060. 800-804-7060. That's 800-804-7060.
The morning after.
Nick Foles, who's the magic man.
The most clutch quarterback of all time.
Relax, Michelle.
All the guy does is win.
This is Nick Foles we're talking about,
yes,
right?
Yes, this is Nick Foles. This well, is, BDN, this a.k.a.
This
Nick Foles.
This is Nick Foles, the defending Super Bowl MVP. Yes.
Career record is probably not over 500.
He's the Super Bowl MVP.
Don't win Super Bowls quarterback.
He just led the Philadelphia Eagles to the playoffs again. He just saved them again.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Back on FST, Thursday edition, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. I'm at Mike Blewett, George is at George Kurtz. And if you like to wager on sports or never have and would like to try, head on over to BetDSI. They have wagering options for almost any sport you can think of, including sides, totals, and player props, where you can utilize your DFS skills without salary cap constraints. You can even wager on esports, politics, and reality TV, or get an edge with live betting at BetDSI, where you can wager virtually any time during a contest, capitalizing on in-game circumstances. There are so many ways that you can make money. So use the promo code FNTSY101 when signing up and get a 100% bonus deposit match. So head on over and open your account at BetDSI. That's promo code FNTSY101 to get your 100% bonus deposit match. So let me do one thing I wanted to do, George, is some player props, which we usually get here. Yeah, player props. There we go. All right. Let me see what we got here. All right. You ready?
I'm ready, Mike.
Okay. We're going to do the first game first because I forgot to do it. Andrew Luck passing yards, since you love him so much. 287.5. That's a lot.
That is a lot, but I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball all that much here. So I think it's going to be a lot of throwing here from Andrew Luck. I'm going over.
And Deshaun Watson, 251.5.
Oh, man, I wish that was a little higher. That sounds really about right for the Deshaun Watson. I think they're going to be trailing.
You said you wanted it to be a little higher, so you would take the under if it was higher.
I don't think he's going to throw for as much as Luck. I think Luck's going over 300. I think Watson around 250 is about right. I'm still going to go over here because I'm going to go with the theory that they'll be trailing. Lamar Miller's not going to be able to do all that much. They're going to have to throw as well.
Yeah.
But I hate it.
I'll give you DeAndre Hopkins 92.5 receiving yards.
I don't know. Man, I feel like an over machine here. It's DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, even though I believe he should be double covered every damn play, either safety over the top or bracketing him or both. Over.
Okay. And let's do the other game. By the way, you like the Colts. I like the Colts. We both like the over. I like the Hawks. But I would wait.
I don't like you.
Right now, would you take the Cowboys -1?
I truly have it as a 50-50 game. I said I think it's going to be that coin flip game. I think it's going to be whichever team makes the least amount of mistakes. And generally, that's not the Cowboys, but it's at home. I think it's an even game. I think Dallas is the better team. I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
Last time they had a home playoff game, I attended it, George. Did not go your way.
Yeah, I remember, Mike. I was working with you, Mike.
No, it did not go your way.
No. So I'm glad you're not going to this game.
They I think the Cowboys, is in Jerry's world, I think they're right at 500 now, all time at home.
Yeah, it's like but this season's been different though. They've been better at home this season.
Yeah, they've caught up. They were a few games below 500, yeah. And I think they're like right at 500, maybe a game over now since in Jerry's world since it opened.
And Dak's numbers are better at home than on the road. So go, they are. You know, hey, that's not.
He had a couple of monster games at the end of the year, dude. That was crazy.
It helped.
Dak bounced me out of the playoffs.
That doesn't that hurt to say.
It does. That Amari Cooper Dak game crushed me. I mean, I got smoked.
Dak bounced me out of the playoffs.
Yep, he did.
That was the Philadelphia game?
Yeah. Amari Cooper went crazy. The fourth quarter was insane.
He hasn't reached those numbers since, by the way, combined.
Zach had threw for 400 yards. It was unbelievable. I mean, it all happened in the fourth quarter. I was like, what the hell happened in this game? I'm sitting there watching it. There's 10 minutes left, and everybody starts running all over the field like it's a Big 12 football game. It was ridiculous. Anyway. Russ Wilson passing yards, 235.5. It's pretty low, but that's where his totals have been this year.
Yeah, it's because Seattle's going to want to run the ball. The problem is Dallas is good against the run, so I think Russell is going to have to throw. I'll take the over there as well.
And let me do one more. I'll do two more. Chris Carson rushing yards, 78.5.
I'm going to go under.
And now Zeke. Can I get a Zeke? I want the Zeke combo. Yeah. Zeke scrimmage yards, 128.5. That would have to be a good game, but scrimmage yards. So game. Rushing, receiving. That's going to be a really good game, but they'll need that to win.
They will. You're right. You know, when you started saying Zeke, the first thing that went through my mind is, okay, 92.5 probably be rushing yards. That's about what I have. Yeah, they'll get somewhere around 100. Now you're asking for another 30 yards receiving. Not easy. Not easy at all here. I wonder if Pete Carroll's game plan is going to be stop Zeke, force Dak to throw. I think it will. I'm going to go under.
You know what's funny? You and I, we did the show. We had the longest running show on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We did the Saturday morning show for a year and a half straight. Didn't miss a show. And through all of it, there was this narrative. And I don't know that we ever talked about it specifically, but there was a narrative that, like, well, Zeke doesn't really have a pass-catching skill set. And I would always be like, I don't really know. I would, like, quietly think, I don't really know if that's true. And then, sure enough, they start throwing the ball. Guess what, George? He can catch. And that narrative was created out of thin air. He's an extremely versatile, one of the most talented backs in the whole league. And it, by the way, the offense opened up to the point where they needed it. Now, they added Amari, too, but Zeke has shown himself to be an extremely well-rounded back.
Well, you know, you and I discussed this yesterday about, you know, whether it's whose fault is it for the Cowboys' offensive troubles this season. And, you know, I said maybe we shouldn't be blaming Scott Linehan and or Jason Garrett. Maybe they know Dak's limitations. And by that, I mean that he's not good at throwing the ball down the field. He's not. I mean, it's fairly easy to see if you watch the games. He can't throw the ball down the field with any kind of accuracy. So that means the shorter passing game has to take control. And that means more throws for Ezekiel Elliott. And maybe it just took them a couple of seasons to realize they have to get Elliott more involved. And he has no problems catching the ball. He's actually very good at it. I'm not going to tell you he's a Saquon Barkley at it or Alvin Kamara, but he's a good receiving back. He certainly doesn't have hands of stone here. So I think you will see him being used in that in that format again. But if I'm Pete Carroll, I mean, I'm not letting Ezekiel Elliott beat me. If Dak Prescott can do it, hey, that's fine. My pass defense has been pretty good all season long, been better than we thought it would be. I am not letting Ezekiel Elliott. I'm just not. Just like the same thing with Indianapolis, I'm not letting DeAndre Hopkins beat me. If I'm losing, if I'm going out in one game, it's because somebody else did it. Deshaun Watson does it to, you know, Cutie or Vincent Smith, fine. You know, if Dak Prescott can do it, if he can get the ball to Cooper, or if Cole Beasley beats me, such is life. I am in playoffs, I am just so against when teams are pretty much one-dimensional, they have one great player. I do not want that player to beat me.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Let me see if I get one more player prop from this game. So we talked about Dak so much. Let me get Dak's total. Dak passing yards, 238.5.
I'll go under.
and Dak rushing yards. Only 19.5. He doesn't run like crazy, but Russell
I'm
Wilson.
I'm going over. I think they're going to have to run him. I know that. You're right. That was a strange with Dak. Some weeks he runs, some weeks he doesn't. Shouldn't he be running every damn week? I mean, he's not.
I feel like it's hypocritical if we say that, because he's a big dude and everything, but there's just – Russell Wilson is the anomaly where, like, he's a smaller quarterback, but he has – he's extremely athletic in that he knows how to get out of bounds. He has awareness. He's a baseball player, so he knows how to slide better than all of them. So – he really is the exception to the rule. Some of these other guys just get crushed. I've seen it happen to Lamar Jackson a few times, and he's a lot slighter than Russell Wilson is. And I just, even if the guy is big, look, Cam Newton wore down this year because he was getting hit too much. I just don't want to put my guy out there like that.
Oh, I'm not talking about the way these guys sometimes run, but there should be some design runs here.
Yeah.
I think he should be scrambling out more. They should be,
I would do
better
it, yes.
At that. The game-winning pass against the Giants came on a scramble to his left. That seems to be when he's best, when he's running and he's not thinking, I think, as far as that could skirt. So I'm going to take the over here than the 19. I think that was going to open up the offense somewhat as far as that's concerned.
Yeah. That's it. So we do those two games. I'll leave the Sunday games for tomorrow. Dane Martinez back on with George, back on with me. George, it's good to be here with you, buddy. We appreciate you being on these shows, and we'll do it again soon.
Always, Mike. Always fun to work with you, Mike. Where was Dane? Was Dane in was he in L.A., California?
I think so. I think he was vacationing or some sort of family wedding or something like that. I don't know. I can't keep track of that guy. He's all over the place.
Man, if him, I don't want to come back if I'm him. God, nice, alley,
I know.
Cold here.
I know. And it hasn't even – we haven't even hit the brutal part of the winter yet. But, you know, I'll leave you all with one final stat. In 2018, league-wide passing numbers trended at a record pace as the marks for passer rating at a 92.9, completion percentage at 64.9, touchdown passes at 847 were all records. So that completion percentage, George, if your starting quarterback has a 65% completion percentage, he's right on average. That ain't good anymore. You need to be a Drew Brees 74% if you're going to impress anybody. All right, folks, we're out. Talk to you tomorrow on a Football Friday. George, thanks for being with me. We'll talk to you tomorrow.